And thank you, Jesus. And thank you, Paul, for writing this down when he says, "Therefore, take up the whole armor of God that you may be able to withstand in the evil day." Because there's an evil day coming. Paul knows that. He's writing to his church family, and he's just saying, hey, put on the armor of God for when the evil day comes. It's not if the evil day is going to come. The evil day is definitely going to come. And I know what some of you guys are thinking right now. You're like, Pastor, that evil day is coming tomorrow. It's called Monday, right? So Monday is a day where many times we're up early and we're fighting battles right away. And then, you know what? The evil day comes again because it's Tuesday. And right there again, all you got to do is look around and realize that we live in a world that is full of conflict. There's conflict externally. Just look outside of yourself. Look around our country. Look around the entire world. And what do you see? You see conflict. You see issues. You see troubles. You see heartbreak. You see major problems. But then we also look internally and we realize that there's conflict. Many times it's caused by what's happening on the outside, and that begins to well up inside of us, and it causes conflict and pressure and struggle and fear and anxiety and worry and doubt all inside of us as well. And so there's this conflict that's been happening ever since the fall, ever since Adam and Eve got us kicked out of the garden. Boom, day one, conflict. And it came, and it's not just what we see. And that's what Paul is writing to his church family, and what he's telling us today as well, is that it's just not what you see that is going on. It's not just the battle that you see. There's a battle behind the battle. There's a battle that's happening in the spiritual world, and it's manifesting itself in the physical world, both in the world externally and for many times right here in our own heart, mind, and in our feet, like where we are. Let's pray again, because talking about spiritual battles is a heavy thing to do, and we know that God wants us to realize that the battle has been won. We are fighting today from a place of victory, not anything that we've accomplished, but all because of what He has already done. Lord Jesus, thank you for that. Lord, thank you that you have won the battle. And so even though you call us to prepare for war, Lord, we know that ultimately the outcome has already been decided. God, the enemy still comes. The enemy still wants to get in a few extra shots here and there, and he still wants to take out some of our people. But Lord, we know that we fight and we stand our ground because of what you have already done. So Lord, today I pray that you would remind us from your word of how we should live this life, of how we should view this world. And God, I pray that you would strengthen us individually and collectively because of these things. And we pray this in Christ's name, and God's people said, amen. Amen. Our message today is titled this, Armor of God. You know, our series, Prepare for War, we started that last week, and we did a message called Strong in the Lord. And Paul, in those first couple of verses that we read in Ephesians chapter 6, will be there. You can go ahead and start turning there in your copy. He said, hey, guess what? You need to be strong in the Lord, because I've already reminded you all the way through the letter that I'm writing you, Ephesians 1, Ephesians 2, Ephesians 3, 4, and 5, of who you are in Christ, of what your identity is in Christ, because Christ has covered you in Him, and He has transformed you into a brand new person. You are a part of His family now. He has removed you from the kingdom of darkness and moved you into the kingdom of light. And because of that, you are His child. And He has chosen you before the beginning of time. And He has redeemed you by His own Son, Jesus Christ. And He has sealed you with His own Holy Spirit. And so you will not slip out of His hands. You will always be in His grasp and in His family. And not only that, but you've also got an inheritance, right? Because you are part of His family, you have an inheritance. You don't just have what you have and what you see. And sometimes we get caught up on just like, man, I wish I had a little bit more. That's lifelong, right? But if we could see spiritually, we realize, man, we have an inheritance that's way beyond this world and what we see right now. And so we can live contented lives because of what we have secured for us as our inheritance in the heavenly places. And then he just goes on to remind them that they can have strength in the Lord and that they need to be powerful in prayer. And just all through the book, he's writing this. And then he gets to the very end. And after he's been telling them all this time that God has won the victory and that they are in Christ, he then circles and says, you know what? But you need to remain strong in the Lord, because even though the war has been won, there's still skirmishes. There's still a real world full of conflict that you are living in right now, and you need to know how to approach these things. And Satan is still coming against you, and there's spiritual things that are happening, and you need to understand that. And so he said, that strength that we have to fight the battle, it comes from the Lord. It's his strength, it's his might. And so we said, know your enemy, because he's evil. So if you want to fight well, you got to know who you're up against. It's usually not the person right in front of you that you think you're having a conflict with. It's the spiritual forces that are going on behind that conflict. And then we said, wear your armor. And we just did an overview of that. We're going to drill down deeper into that today and next Sunday as well. And why? Because Paul says you need to stand your ground. God has already won the victory. He's given you the ground that you're standing on, and you need to hold it. What kind of ground should you be standing on? Like, stand firm. What kinds of things should we be standing firm in? Well, we saw that we should stand firm in both doctrine and duty, right? We should stand firm both in what we believe and in what we do. Paul says this in 1 Timothy chapter 4. Now, the Spirit expressly says that in later times, some will depart from the faith by devoting themselves to deceitful spirits and teachings of demons. And so what's going to happen, he's saying, is that some people, they're going to get tricked. And they are not going to stand their ground when it comes to the right teaching of the Scriptures and what Paul has taught them. And he goes on to say that what's going to happen is that people are just going to really want to have their ears tickled. Right? They just want to be like, hey, come on in. Let me tell you how amazing you are. Send you out all pumped up. This is just a big pump-up speech. But there's nothing really solid in the middle of it. And people really love that kind of stuff. But it doesn't really help them actually see life the way that they should. Not just doctrine, though. We need to stand our ground not just in what we believe, but in what we do. And so Paul says in 1 Corinthians 15, therefore, my beloved brothers, be steadfast, stand your ground, immovable. In what way, Paul? Always abounding in the work of the Lord, knowing that in the Lord your labor is not in vain. And so some folks like to hold on to their good theology, but they never do what God has called them to do in working out and using the gifts that God has given them. Some folks, on the other hand, like to spend their entire lives just serving, giving, going, busy. And they're willing to sacrifice any kind of right belief in who God, the God of the Bible, is. And Paul is saying, stand your ground on both of those fronts. Not just one. You don't just pick and choose. You do it in both ways. But he also says this, stand your ground in trials and temptations. So we know that trials are going to come because we live in a tough world, right? James says, blessed is the man who remains steadfast, who stands his ground under trial. For when he has stood the test, he will receive the crown of life, which God has promised to those who love him. And then temptations, Hebrews 3. Take care, brothers, lest there be any of you an evil, unbelieving heart leading you to fall away from the living God, but exhort one another every day as long as it is called today, that none of you may be hardened. How? By the deceitfulness of sin. That's, the devil is known as the deceiver, right? So he wants you to sacrifice what you believe or what you do, and he wants to send trials your way so that you won't steadfast. And if that won't work, he wants to send temptations your way so that he can make you fall back and give up ground. And in each of those ways, we are called to be a people who stand our ground. And how can we stand our ground? I am so glad you asked that, Joe. Thank you very much. You got to do it in the strength of the Lord. And you got to do it by wearing your armor, the armor of God. So we're a church that likes to preach from the Bible here. So turn in your copy to Ephesians chapter 6. And today we're actually going to read verses 10 through 20. But we're only going to actually study two verses today, verses 14 and 15. Finally, be strong in the Lord and in the strength of His might. Put on the whole armor of God. Why? That you may be able to stand against the schemes and the tricks of the devil. For we do not wrestle against flesh and blood, even though sometimes it looks like that, but against the rulers, against the authorities, against the cosmic powers over this present darkness, against the spiritual forces of evil in the heavenly places. Therefore, take up the whole armor of God, not just a little bit of the armor, not just what's convenient for you that day, but be a good soldier and get all your gear together. Get all your equipment into one place and keep it there and get good at getting it all on and keeping it all on. Therefore, take up the whole armor of God that you may be able to withstand. Otherwise, you won't. That you may be able to withstand in the evil day on Monday and on Tuesday and on Wednesday. And having done all to stand, stand firm. 14. Stand therefore, having fastened on the belt of truth, and having put on the breastplate of righteousness, and as shoes for your feet, having put on the readiness given by the gospel of peace. In all circumstances, take up the shield of faith, with which you can extinguish all the flaming darts of the evil one, and take the helmet of salvation and the sword of the Spirit, which is the word of God, praying at all times in the Spirit with all prayer and supplication. To that end, keep alert with all perseverance, making supplication for all the saints, and also for me, that words may be given to me in opening my mouth boldly to proclaim the mystery of the gospel, for which I am an ambassador in chains, that I may declare it boldly as I ought to speak. So Paul gives them this whole entire conversation to say, this is a big picture going on here. You need to grasp it all. You need to wrestle through it. You need to understand that what is happening is bigger than you, and many times you can't see it. And so in order for you to get through it and to stand firm and to hold the ground that God has given you, that is rightfully yours, that He wants you to carry out in this world, to stand firm in your right thinking and in your right doing, but also to stand firm in trials and temptation, you need to put on the armor of God. And today we talk about three of those things. We're going to talk about the belt of truth, the breastplate of righteousness, and the shoes of the gospel of peace. Let's read verse 14 again. The belt of truth. Stand therefore, having fastened on the belt of truth. And so Paul is just saying, hey, you know what? You've seen in the Old Testament, you've seen in Isaiah chapter 59 that our God is mighty in battle and He has the belt of truth and He has the shield and He has the helmet of salvation. And then Paul also at this time is chained to a Roman guard, and so he's seeing all these things all over again. And so this metaphor is right there in his face to say, hey, you know what? The spiritual life, the disciplines that it takes to live out the spiritual life and to stand your ground in the ways that God has called us to, it's kind of like armor that a soldier would wear. And so he writes that to his church to help them understand how they could put these things on. And the very first thing that he says is this, is you need to put on the belt of truth. This is just not a pretty little belt, right, for looks. I grew up in North Carolina, and for a little while I went to this school, and they required all the boys to tuck in their shirt and wear a belt. Anybody have to wear a belt to school? All right, two other people plus me. Well, this school, man, I tell you, they had this rule that if you forgot to wear your belt to school, that they had this, and this was for boys only, they had this white, fuzzy, furry, girly belt hanging in the principal's office, and if you forgot to wear your belt to school, they brought you to the principal's office. I am not making this up. They made you wear the belt of shame all day long. I mean, I don't think that would fly these days. But back in the day, I was like, oh, I'll never forget my belt ever again. Please. That belt was strictly for looks. That belt was strictly to make you feel some kind of way. But the belt that Paul is talking about is actually a belt that had a job to do. It did more than just hold up somebody's pants, right? This was a belt back in these days, if the guys were wearing these long tunics or robes, that they would have a belt that they could strap on and wrap around. And when they went to work in the field or they went into battle, they would be able to tuck up all the loose clothing that they had on, and they would tuck it in that belt so that way they would be completely freed up. This is before they invented spandex, right? So they were able to just tuck it all in, keep everything in place, and then, boom, they were ready to fight. They were ready for battle. They were ready for work. Specifically, in regards to soldier, they had a big, fat belt that had a lot of jobs because it would protect their midsection, but it would also hold them up, and it would also tuck things in, and it would also hold all of their tools. And in a lot of ways, it just kept everything together. It tied up all the loose ends. It was the very first piece. It's kind of like on a construction site where you have a big fat leather belt. And on that belt, you can hang many other tools. Your hammer, your tape measure, put your pencil right here. That's where I put mine, right there, right beside of my tape. Can I get an amen, construction? All right, forget about it. Your square, right back here, that's the proper place to carry it, all these places. And you always knew exactly where to go when you had the belt on. Boom. And after a while, you don't even think about grabbing your hammer. It just comes right out because you know exactly where it was at. In this case, a sword, a helmet, all the things that you would hang on there. And Paul says this, is that you need to put on the belt of truth. Why does he say that? Why is truth the first and most critical component of the Christian soldier's life? Because our enemy, if you know your enemy, he is a deceiver. One of the main attacks of our enemy is not just a full-on frontal attack that's out in the open. His main source of attack is deceit. It's lies. It's to trick you. It's to trip you up through making you believe things that are not true. And Paul says, truth has to be a critical component of the Christian life. Even though I've already told you all these truthful things in Ephesians chapter 1 through 5 about who you are and who God is and what he has done on your behalf and the victory that you have, just because I told you that one time does not mean that now you can just forget about it. No, every single day as a good soldier, you need to wake up and remind yourself of the truth, because we forget. And we also begin to believe things that are not true. And so you put on this belt of truth and you cinch it up tight, and it holds you together. It holds things together. And without the truth, all the other components will not hang on where they're supposed to be. And so as a people of God, we have to put on the truth every single day. What is the truth? Jesus said that he was the truth. I am the way, the truth, and the life. We know that Jesus is the truth. He is the one true God, and this is his word. He is the word from the beginning. So as believers, how do we prepare for battle? By putting on the armor of God and putting on the belt of truth. It's hard these days, if you pay attention for 5 seconds out there, to know what truth is. And that's not by accident. It is so confusing. I had a good conversation this past week with a friend, and we were just discussing about how many competing ideas are floating around in the world these days. And many times those ideas are put out there as the complete and honest truth. Except if you flip to another station, it's the exact opposite. The truth happens to be in direct conflict with what these people say is right. And it's just all over the place, and it's hard to know, like, what are you supposed to believe? But that is something that has not new for us. It's been here ever since the fall, that the evil one has been deceiving and tricking and lying. In fact, right there in the garden, the very first thing Satan did when he came to Adam and Eve, and he started out with a half-truth, right? And then he went into full-out lie mode. And he's like, did God really say you couldn't eat of that tree? And, well, I mean, we can eat of all the trees, but we just can't touch that one or eat that one, or we're going to surely die. And what was his very next words? You will not surely die. You will not die. That's a lie. And what they needed to do in that moment is to remind themselves of what was true, of what God had already told them, of what God had already said. But too oftentimes what happens for believers is that we hear the lie and it actually is something that we would kind of like to believe. And so you and I are a people, are a race of rebels who would prefer to believe what's convenient for us. You wonder why so many Christians are divided these days about all kinds of things in our society that's going on, especially over the last 12 months? It's because there's something called convenient truths. Things that, well, that kind of fits the way that I want to believe and how I already think and how I want to live my life. So instead of going and searching the scriptures and being a thinking Christian who holds on to what God says and only what God says, then I will allow myself to believe this and then just say, well, I don't think God would be the kind of God that would say X, Y, or Z. This must be right. But what we as believers do not do is we don't read the Word of God. Get this. We do not read the Word of God and then sift it through the filter of the current culture, and then what we have left is what we take as truth. That is what mankind has been doing ever since the beginning of time. God said this, let me shake it out. What's convenient for me? And then we have been able to justify all kinds of horrible wrongdoings throughout history because we've taken God's word and made it fit our lives. And Paul says, do not do that. That's a bad soldier. You're going to lose ground when you do that, and you're going to think you're holding ground. That's the greatest defeat of all, right? You think you're defending ground and standing your ground on ground that God never told you to hold, on something that God is actually absolutely antithetical to what God would have you do and believe. And so we want to hold ground that actually is God's ground. Ground that God has won and given us the victory in already. Deception is his main strategy. How do we put on this belt of truth? How do we stand our ground? That's a really complicated answer. It's going to be so hard to do. Actually, it's simple, but it can be hard. A good soldier must be a student of the word. A good soldier must be a student of the word, not just what Pastor John has said on a Sunday morning, and not just what you're getting in your community group, but you as a good soldier must know the truth and know it so well and so long and know exactly where all those tools are on that belt, so when the lies come, and they will come, and when the half-truths come, that you'll know right away where to reach. Boom, here's a verse. I got this. No. And just like Jesus did when he was being tempted and Satan tried to lie to him and tell him a half-truth, and if you'll do this, then I'll do this. And Jesus says, no, but the scripture says this. Boom! Because Satan even tried to use the word of God in a twisted way against Jesus. And Jesus is like, I don't know if you know this, but I am the word. That word that you're misquoting, that's mine. And so he was able to throw down that card every time, like, boom, get out of here. Get behind me. You got nothing on me because I got the truth. But if you have holes in your armor, if you have holes in your belt of truth, you will eventually fall. You will give ground. You will give way. You'll do what's convenient. You'll do what's easy. You'll do what's culturally acceptable. Instead, read your book. Read your Bible, study your Bible. Study, show yourself approved, a workman who needs not be ashamed, rightly dividing the word of truth. The belt of truth, the word of truth, hold it close, put it on every single morning, midday, night. Don't neglect it. Well, I go to church service, Pastor. Isn't that good enough? That's not good enough. You got to know, and you got to put on the belt of truth. It's simple, but it's not necessarily easy. And then you'll be able to tuck in all them loose ends, right? All those little thoughts, all those doubts that try to creep in, the truth will shut those down and you will be a good soldier. So there's the belt of truth that we need to have, that we need to put on, that we need to make sure is a discipline in our lives. But then Paul says also that we need to put on the breastplate of righteousness, right? And so, stand therefore, having fastened on the belt of truth and having put on the breastplate of righteousness. So the breastplate for the soldier was usually a metal wearable shield, basically, that you would put on, and it would cover your midsection. So in one way, you could say that the truth was kind of for your head and for right thinking, but the breastplate is for your heart. It would cover your internal organs, especially those ones that were so important. Because a soldier could get struck on the leg or on the arm and still live to fight another day. But if they got hit in their midsection with a sword, kidney, liver, heart, you're a done deal, right? And so you need to have on that breastplate to protect yourself, to protect your vital organs. And so he says, put on this breastplate of what? Of righteousness. So he starts with truth and then he moves to righteousness. Why righteousness? Because know your enemy, right? Your enemy is not only a liar and a deceiver, the father of lies, but he is evil. He's sinful. And so we need to be a people that wear righteousness on us. Let's go back to the garden, right? We already saw that Satan is a deceiver and he deceived them, tricked them, they disobeyed God, and that they were hiding in the bushes, right? Because before this, God made everything and he saw that it was good. And then they disobeyed God, and right away, what happened? Shame, guilt. We realized we were naked. Adam, Eve, where are you? God knew where they were. Hey guys, I'm ready for my daily walk. I've done something bad. You ever do something bad and you don't feel like walking with Jesus that day? You know what I'm talking about. Well, I can't walk with Jesus. Jesus loves me so much, and I believed a lie, and I didn't put on my belt of truth, and now I've done something horrible and sinful, and I feel guilty and shameful about it. And now I feel like I got to take some kind of a break for Jesus. But Jesus is coming looking for you. And he's walking in the garden calling out your name, going, come on. I already know what you did. I know you're hiding in the bushes. And I know that because of your shame, you have put on your fig leaves, a covering from the world to try to hide your nakedness, your guilt, your shame. And it ain't working. Those fig leaves, they don't look good on you, right? And they ain't covering up much. And they're uncomfortable. And it's just a fake righteousness. It's a fake covering. And God takes an animal and sacrifices it, the first sacrifice, to make an atonement, a covering. And he puts the skins of an animal on Adam and Eve as a foreshadowing of the righteousness that will be applied to them and to you and me when his son, the sacrificial Lamb of God, dies on a cross in your place so that you can have the righteousness of God applied to you. And so 2 Corinthians chapter 5, verse 21 says this, God made him who had no sin to be sin for us, so that in him, that is in Jesus, we might become the righteousness of God. The breastplate of righteousness the fig leaves, the skin of an animal, the covering, the protection, the guilty heart. You and I enter into this world as broken, unrighteous people. People who are sinful to the core and who can't do anything good or right. And yet God covers us in His Son with His righteousness. And so there's not a literal metal breastplate that we put on, but we understand that as believers, we not only walk in truth, but we walk in righteousness. Now, the devil would love for you and I to be defeated soldiers and to walk through this life like Adam and Eve were, shame, guilt, just defeated. I can't do anything. I'm so bad. He would love for you to do that. He'd also love for you to do the opposite of that, which is to try to be self-righteous, to be in your own eyes, right? That's kind of like those fig leaves. I'll fix this problem myself. And look, not bad. And a lot of people walk through life self-righteous and completely open to the attacks of the devil. But what Paul is saying here is that you and I need to put on the breastplate of righteousness. What does that mean? That means this. You get up in the morning, you put on the belt of truth, and then you pray on the breastplate of righteousness. Lord, thank you for your truth. Thank you that I can trust your word. Thank you that I know that you are the truth and I don't have to believe the lies of this world. God, help me to push out the lies of this world, the things that I can't even understand. Lord, I'm going to trust you no matter what, because not only do I have your truth in me, but your truth has got a hold of me. But God, you also tell me that even though I feel guilty a lot of times, that I'm not redeemed and I'm not set free because of anything that I've done, but it's only because of your righteousness that it has been applied to me. So God, I'm going to walk through this world and in this battle with your righteousness on me. I'm going to get up and I'm going to put it on first thing in the morning, because if you get up in the morning and you're counting on how good you are and your performance and how hard you work and how strict you are on yourself, you're always going to let yourself down. You will never be good enough. You will be completely defeated in your own works, and you can try to use your willpower and you can pull yourself up by your bootstraps, but it will never work. It will be short-lived. You might lie to yourself for a little while and think that you're okay and like, hey, I'm on a good roll. It's been 2 or 3 days and I haven't given in to my besetting sin. And hey, I think I can walk with Jesus now because of how good I am. Sit down. You can't walk with Jesus because of what you have done. He came looking for you and offered you a covering and said, you're righteous because of me. I became sin. I took on your sin onto me, and I'm giving you my righteousness. Get out of here with your fig leaves. Your fig leaves aren't covering anything. They're not helpful. Everybody could see your self-righteousness. But you and I have the ability as good soldiers to go, God, thank you. God, thank you so much for this righteousness that you've provided that makes me holy and clean and pure and in right standing with my commander in chief. And I walk through life not giving in to Satan. Satan can't shame me. And so when Satan lies to you and says, you're a terrible person, you are so messed up, I can't believe you thought that. I can't believe you said that. I can't believe you believed the lie I told you, and then you did the thing that I tricked you into doing, and then right away when you did it, wham, I turned around and said, how awful of you to do that. And then you can say, get out of here, devil. I ain't righteous. I ain't counting on my righteousness. I'm counting on Jesus. I'm counting on his righteousness. He's covering me. I know I'm messed up. I agree with you on that, that I am a terrible person who has been saved by grace and made clean. So you can take your guilt and you can take your shame and you can get the heck out of here, because I'm with Jesus and I'm standing my ground. And even though I messed up a little bit, I'm going to get right back up and I'm going to stand my ground And I'm going to lean into that righteousness. And you know what you should do? You should live out of that. So it's not so much every single day you getting up and going, I've got to try a little harder to stop doing this thing and stop. It's the way we look at it a lot of times to go, man, I've got to be righteous. I've got to do this thing. Instead of going, the truth is that it's so much better to do things God's way. And I know that when I sin over and over again, I'm just really robbing myself. And so what I want to do is live out of the righteousness that's already been provided to me and live and walk in that righteousness. Does that make sense? So not trying to do it from your own willpower, but allowing God through the Holy Spirit to help you live the life that He wants you to live in the strength of His might. The belt of truth, the breastplate of righteousness, and then the shoes of the gospel of peace. Verse 15, and as shoes for your feet, having put on the readiness given by the gospel of peace. And as shoes for your feet, having put on the readiness given by the gospel of peace. I love Paul. He doesn't always make it easy to understand, but once you get it, you're like, that's beautiful. And so Roman soldiers, they had special shoes made for them. They actually had like tacks coming out of the bottom of their shoes, like the original cleats, right? So that they could stand their ground. They were lightweight shoes, but they were also stable so that they could surprise attack the enemy. They could move quickly before the enemy a lot of times could even get their armor on and get their own shoes on. The army was right on top of them because they were able to move so quickly. And then when they actually got into battle, they were able to hold their ground. They weren't just turning their ankles and stuff because they had stable shoes on their feet. And Paul says, what is the stable shoes that you need to have on? It's the readiness of the gospel of peace. You've got the truth and the righteousness. And now what's that going to bring into your life as a believer? It's going to bring peace. The peace that we've gotten from the gospel in our lives so that, get this, it's odd to think about peace, shoes of peace, in the middle of a war. But the kind of peace that God gives is a peace that is good no matter where you are. And so if you're in a battle, you still have the peace of God. And so Paul is just saying you need to stand your ground, and Satan wants to get you out of position. He wants to trip you up. He wants your feet to take you to the wrong place, to get you out of rank, to move you away by yourself, because he's looking around like a roaring lion, seeking who he may devour. And many Christians, it's easy to wander off from the fold and get away from community, and you set yourself up for attack right there. You're all by yourself. Your shoes need to carry you on back to where you need to be in the fold. So he wants to not only get you out of position, but man, he wants to knock you off balance, and he wants to get you down on the ground. So if he can get you to believe a lie and then make you feel shameful and guilty for that lie, then pretty soon he's knocked you out and got you down on the ground, and you're deep in it, right? And you're wallowing on the ground. You're like, man, what in the world happened? Well, you didn't put on the belt of truth or the breastplate of righteousness. And now you got these flip-flops on that you're going to war for. And man, you're all messed up. And so Paul says, the gospel of peace. You see, we have peace with God. Romans 5:1 says this, therefore, since we have been justified by faith, we have peace with God through our Lord Jesus Christ. That's the gospel of peace, that we were at war with God. We are rebels in a war against God. God was our enemy. That is your natural state when you are born. Believe it or not, you are at odds, enmity with God. And yet, because of Jesus Christ, we've been justified by faith, and now we have peace with God. We are no longer under God's judgment and wrath because of the fact that we've been justified by faith in Jesus Christ. And because of that, and only because of that, then you and I can have the peace of God. Behold, the hour is coming, Jesus told his disciples in the Gospel of John. Indeed, it has come when you will be scattered, each to his own home. This is a not peaceful situation. And will leave me alone, yet I am not alone, for the Father is with me. I have said these things to you. I'm preparing you for what's about to happen. I've said these things to you that in me you may have peace. In the world you will have tribulation, but take heart. I have overcome the world. He also says this, do not let your hearts be troubled. Believe in God. Believe also in me. You can have the peace of God after you've made peace with God. And you can have that in any and every situation that you are in. So what Paul is calling us to is to be a people who are exhibiting the gospel of peace in our lives, who are stable, who every time trials and temptation come, we're not like wallowing on the floor in our high heels or in our flip-flops going, I don't know what happened. That's the mark of an unstable soldier. The Lord is at hand. Do not be anxious about anything, but in everything by prayer and supplication with thanksgiving, let your requests be made known to God, and the peace of God, which surpasses all understanding, will guard your hearts and your minds in Christ Jesus. Put on truth. Put on righteousness that have been provided to you from outside of you. And put on peace, which also is external. You see, in our world, a lot of times these days, people are looking for those things from within themselves. I create my own truth. Whatever I decide is right and good, that's what's right for me, is what the world will say. Well, you might think that's sinful, but I don't. So I'm just going to do me. You do you, I'll do me. And in fact, the world's really good at taking something that is blatantly sinful and making it the new morality and making it the new righteousness. And then people look for peace from within themselves. Just look inside of yourself. You'll find peace in there somewhere. No, you won't. You'll find a fake peace that has been sold to you that will not last, that will fall quickly to the ground when times get hard and when you get inside the battle. You see, all these things that Paul is saying is coming from outside of eternity, from outside of time, to say these are things that come from God and not from ourselves. God wants you to be prepared for the attack that is coming. And so you've got to be a diligent soldier in putting on truth and putting on righteousness that's been provided and by living in the peace that he has given you. Live it out. Live it up. It's yours. You can stand your ground with these things with the strength of God. Let's pray. Lord Jesus, thank you so much that we can stand the ground that you've already won, that you've already given, that you've already secured. Lord, that we don't have to go on the attack against the evil one because you've already gone on the attack against him and you have crushed his head. Lord, he is a defeated foe. And Lord, you are victorious. God, I thank you for allowing us to live victorious in your victory by holding on to truth, by living in your righteousness, and by abiding in the peace that you have given us. And Lord, I pray that we would wear those things every single day this week. That we'd be diligent. That we would put it into practice. That we would live it out. Every head bowed, every eye closed. If you're in a battle this morning, this week, your whole life, if you're an unbeliever, to say, I'm now seeing and God is showing me why my life is upside down. It's because I am living outside of the family of God. Your life will always be like that until you've been adopted into God's family. So whether you're online or here in person this morning, don't leave here until you've gotten right with God, until you believe the truth that Jesus Christ loves you and has died in your place to take your penalty of sin and death. And by taking on his righteousness that he wants to give you, and if you'll do that, then you'll have made peace with the God of the universe, and his peace will flood your heart. Is that you today? Would you just acknowledge that by slipping up your hand so I could see it and say, I see you right there, sir. Say, I need that peace. I see you right there. I need that peace in my life this morning. Anybody else online, just click that salvation moment button, and we have counselors standing by that would love to talk with you right now in this moment. But I want to pray for those who have responded this morning. God, thank you so much for the salvation work that you're already doing. God, I pray that this week, as these people who have acknowledged that they are sinful and away from you, Lord, that you would give them new life in you right now, right here, in this moment, and that they would live a life on mission for you from this moment on. And we pray this in Jesus' mighty and powerful name. Amen. Hey, thank you guys so much for being here online this morning or in person this morning and continuing to go through. We've got one more message from the book of Ephesians, and then we'll be finished with this sermon series that we've been doing for a while now through this book. So don't miss next Sunday, Ephesians chapter 6. We'll finish out the armor of God and finish out the book. So I'm really looking forward to that.